Give me a beat. Thank you for pushing play. You are listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental Podcast, Episode 4. We're about to get fresh up in here. No one really cares about the guy on the bottom. No one really cares about the guy for me. Everybody wants to be down with the dude on top of the stairs. Top of the stairs. Cause no one really cares about the guy on the bottom. No one really cares about the guy for me. Everybody wants to be down with the dude on top of the stairs. Top of the stairs. Little brother, look around. What's up, Internet? This is the Ray Ray is Fundamental Podcast. I am your host, Ray Moraldi. But you all know me as Ray Ray, and you might also know me as that NBA blogger behind the NoLookPass.com. This used to be an NBA podcast called The Chronicles of Crotty, named after backup point guard John Crotty, but I didn't want people to get confused anymore. This was not hosted by John Crotty, although he was on the show several times. But it's also a want to expand the podcast. I just didn't want to talk about basketball anymore, so here we are. Episode 4 of the Ray Ray's Fundamental Podcast. Recorded on February 8th and 9th, 2015. What's going on? Obviously, we can't talk about the Super Bowl anymore because that's old hat. It happened a week ago. You know, why didn't the Seahawks run to the goal line? Stuff like that. They overthought it. They lost. Let's move on. I know the Grammys were on Sunday night, but I haven't really cared about an award show in years, and also, I made it a point not to go on social media, especially Twitter, when any type of award show is on. I just can't. It's just full of negativity, lots of complaining, lots of bashing, lots of unfunny jokes. And when a funny joke does come around, it gets run down in like a minute. It's like, it's just not a good environment online. And what I find funny is that why do people care so much about something that's basically subjective? Okay, so your favorite artist didn't win a certain award. Okay, awesome. He probably sold 4 million units anyway, and 4 million people like his stuff. So there you go. Me? I don't care. I like what I like, and no one else is going to tell me otherwise which music to like. You know, that's just dumb. So I don't bother going on social media when award shows are on. There's just too much bitching. I have better things to do. Like, I don't know, play video games or something, right? Last Wednesday, ABC premiered Fresh Off the Boat. It's based off Eddie Huang's memoir, which I haven't read. So this is kind of a different perspective than others who have read his memoir. And Fresh Off the Boat, obviously, is kind of like a politically incorrect term, you know, FOB, you know, basically, immigrants that haven't, you know, assimilated into the America, basically, their culture and whatnot, you know, they're trying so hard to fit in. But this show is about an Asian family moving from Washington, D.C. to Orlando, and they're trying to fit in. Lewis is trying to revive a restaurant. Jessica, the mother, is that the stereotypically strict Asian mom. And then there are the sons, Eddie, Emery, and Evan. And, you know, I had mixed feelings about the show when it came on. I mean, as an Asian American, I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled to see an Asian sitcom on American primetime television. But the first episode was not the greatest. There's so many Asian stereotypes shown early, you know, like, such as, like, you know, white people surprised that Jessica can speak English and Asian food is nasty, stuff like that. The emphasis on report cards. It's just, but at the same time, it's, you know, stuff that we can relate to growing up. You know, like I said, it was set in the 90s. You know, like, trying to fit into the community as one of the few Asians in a mostly, white community. Getting called terms like chink. But at the very least, what I liked about it is that, you know, the Asians weren't shown as weak and meek and subservient. And I love Jessica's character. Like, she can be the stereotypical overbearing Asian mom, but she does fight back. Yeah, that's great. I like that. I want to see the grandma be more than just some sort of random cartoon character / inside joke or whatever, because all she does is wheel around in her wheelchair, carry a radio and bob her head. Like, I want to see more from her. Okay. The thing about the reason why I'm a little, like I said, I had a little mixed feelings about Fresh Off the Boat is because, like, okay. TV is sometimes the only exposure, certain cultures have to people. So, I'm not saying stop with the Asian stereotype jokes, which, you know, again, there are a lot of in the first episode, but at least the second episode was much better in showing a balance. But that fine balance between showing what Asian culture is all about and, showing everybody that, you know what? We're just like everyone else out there, you know. Some of us do speak perfect English, and some of us are not pigeonholed to certain stereotypes. Like, you know, we're not all about grades all the time, martial arts or whatever, you know. We're just basically everyone else trying to live a life. We just happen to be a different ethnicity. Like I said, ultimately, I'm happy there's an Asian show on American primetime TV. I'll be rooting for this one. I will be watching it, and I'm not one to go out of my way to watch television shows other than sports. So, yeah, I'll be watching tomorrow, which is Tuesday. I'll be rooting for it. Now, what we have here is a little different. I discussed Fresh Off the Boat with a few other Asian Americans. I've mentioned the Gal Pal Squad in the past. Well, one of my gal pals, Laura Walker, who does ClearEyesFullShelves.com, joins this roundtable. Another individual who happens to be my boss, Ben Chu. Yeah, my boss from that NBALotteryPick.com also joins the roundtable. And the excellent and hilarious Fong brothers, Andrew and David, also join us. You may know them as YouTube sensations. They do a fantastic YouTube show that mostly revolves around Asian culture. They talk about Asian cuisine, Jeremy Lin, and other Asian-related topics like, what kind of Asian are you? So check them out on YouTube. Again, the Fong Brothers. So, here we are. Let's talk about Fresh Off the Boat with other Asians. Scratch!
With me on the line are too many people. First of all, my gal pal, Laura Walker. How's it going?
What's up? I'm good. How are
and
you guys?
My partner from that NBA lottery pick, Ben Chu. How's it going, man?
Doing good, man. Getting up on a Sunday, so that's all that matters.
And my special guests, they're kind of famous on YouTube, doing all this Asian-American culture promotion and everything. But really, they're really good. They're really funny. The Fong brothers, Andrew and David. How's it going, guys?
What's up, man?
Yeah, so let's talk about you guys first, because you guys are super popular amongst the Asian community. What made you guys decide to do this, your YouTube show?
I think we always liked entertainment, and we grew up in Seattle. Mm-hmm. There were Asians, but we also spent a lot of time in systems that didn't have a lot of Asians. So we definitely know mm-hmm. what it's like to be the minority. I think we have a pretty well-rounded perspective. We were doing a little bit of YouTube before we moved to L.A. while I was still in my last year of college. And then right after I graduated, we moved down to L.A. And we did a little bit of stand-up comedy, but we weren't really feeling the scene. It's not really made for two young Asian brothers to succeed, and it's not comfortable,
right.
It's not really fun. YouTube was popping. Kind of at first just made a lot of content that we liked, like that mm-hmm. we just like random content, but sooner or later you kind of figure out like your flow and really what mm-hmm. your message is, and our voice is what they call it, you know, your voice comes through, and after making enough, we found our stride and doing a lot of, you know, I'd say 70% Asian content, and the other stuff revolves around clothes, sneakers, food, mostly Asian mm-hmm. food, but all the other types of food too, and mm-hmm. stuff like that, yeah, so.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Have you guys always wanted to do this, like basically, I don't know, not say breaking into Hollywood, just like entertaining in general, or did your parents, were they disappointed you saying, you guys must be engineers, doctors, and lawyers? It's like the Asian way, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely say our parents are pretty traditional. But, you know, I think if you just show them that you can be successful and their parents start to talk to them about it, you just get in the, whatever ethnicity they are, like get in their in-language paper or the paper that circulates within their community. So, like, in Seattle, we got mm-hmm. this one called Northwest Asian Weekly. So, it's like, I think we got a feature in that, you know, like mm-hmm. a year in, and they're like, okay. They made it something that they understand. Like, we were on Chinese TV a couple times, like Taiwanese news. And
nice.
And then we're in the, once you get, like, the church, other church people talking to them about Like, whatever your community is, temple, church, like, whatever your community is, if you got other people's parents talking to your parents about you to their kids, it validates you, and then it buys you time. And by now we're, like, set up to where they accept us, and they support us, too, you know. Like, they, at this point, they want us to be successful because they know that there's no turning back.
That's good.
But I do think for the first couple of years, my dad was still, like, tossing out, like, yeah, you know, we hope you go to law school, and then, you know, you videotape your law school process, and then, you know, maybe that helps your YouTube. And then we're just like, nah, man, that's not how it works, man. Thank you for the offer.
Yeah, I work in basketball. They still want me to be a doctor. Ben, do you have a question?
I mean, overall, just a general question for the Fun Bros. In terms of, like, how much work, because I always hear a lot of people say, oh, there's not a lot of work being put into YouTube videos these days. How much do you actually have to do for, like, a single video in a day or a couple of days?
It depends on what quality your videos are and what quantity you want to put them out in. Like, we put out 2 videos a week that are pretty edited, and which I think are always, you know, somewhat educational and informational and entertaining. So, yeah, we put more time into our videos. It's a full-time job, and it really is a lot of work. Like, to make videos that people want to watch and that are value-adding, it's a lot of work. I think at different levels, you look at YouTubers who just, like, blog their life, which I don't think adds a lot of value, to be honest. And those people, yeah, I'd say the videos are fairly easy. You know, they could send it off to an editor or edit themselves, but... nah, man, trust me, anytime you make a viral hit, it took some thinking. Even if it seems stupid, most of the time, they were trying to make it viral. So, it's a process. You film it, edit it, put it out. Sometimes you have other people shoot and edit it.
The reason why I brought all of you in here, kind of in cyberspace, all of you are Asian. I'm Asian as well. The new show, Fresh Off the Boat, was just premiered last week. And I have very mixed emotions about the show myself. So I want to get your feelings on you know, the show, basically. So I want to start with you, Laura. Like, what do you think at first?
I like it. I read the book that it's based on, and they definitely had to soften it up quite a bit, which my understanding is that Eddie Huang was a little bit, well, not just a little bit, but very disappointed about that. But I don't really think they had a choice because they want to put it on broadcast television. But I felt like there was a lot that I could relate to. And what I really, really like most about it is the fact that it makes the white people in their community the weird people. Because, like, I feel like Asian people in cultural, like, on TV and whatever, they're usually portrayed as, like, these people that are just there to be mocked. Like, 99% of the time, and it's so irritating. Like, an Asian walks into the room, and you hear a gong sound or something, and you're like, what the come on, you know? So, but I really like how they really make fun of the white people, and we're just like, you guys aren't really that normal. Like, you guys are really weird. It's not us. It's you, too, you know? So,
right.
I really like that about it.
Ben, I was talking to you about this off the record, that I thought this show was just a little bit too late, because it's like, I feel like this should have been released 10 years ago just because, like, you know, like, do they still look at us like this? You know what I mean? Like, especially if, what do you think?
I mean, I think overall, I don't necessarily think that, like, that's the general perception these days. Because even though, you know, there is still, you can argue that there are still not enough, you know, roles for Asian Americans in television at periods of time. But I agree with you, it is a little late, but at the end of the day, though, is that what it is going to be very important in terms of a cultural identity, trying to help people understand where you're coming from. And one of the big points of the show is letting people know that even though you're the outsider, or at least you're perceived to be the outsider, you can still relate to people. Like, when I was growing up in rural California, I was pretty, I was pretty much in the middle of nowhere at periods of time. So when you're trying to find yourself and you're trying to identify with Eddie as the main character, it feels like you can relate to the characters. And as long as you can relate to the characters overall, it's going to be a successful show.
Fong Brothers, what do you guys think?
First of all, I'm really happy the show's out, but I will I think it's clear to everybody it's not a perfect show. It's hard to satisfy the diverse Asian American community, you know, to be honest. And we're Chinese, and Eddie is Chinese Taiwanese. So for, I think, especially Taiwanese and Chinese people, I think the show hits extremely close to home. And still for other Asians too, but I think actually, obviously he's Taiwanese in the show, so it, when they talk about Shaolin Baos and stuff like that, I didn't necessarily eat that for lunch growing up, but you know, I know what they are. So it's not a perfect show. Some of the jokes are definitely cringeworthy. I thought the pilot first episode was shot a while ago, and since then they improved the show because episode two was a lot better.
Yeah.
As far as it being late, I know what you're trying to say, but I do think it came at a time, like there's a reason why there was a 20-year gap, because I think nothing interesting about Asians happened in 20 years in a way. Like it was Bruce Lee, then like Margaret Cho came out, and then we just had a bunch of like Asian actors, which are cool, but like nobody that really rocked the boat, you know, no pun intended, but like I think Eddie came through, got a name, did some different things, kind of showed a different image of Asians. He's smart, but he's also very hip-hop. He's into food. Mm-hmm. He's chubby. He's a big dude. You know, he's not, like, playing, like, the pretty boy card here. So I think it is definitely really progressive, and the show is not perfect. But I, for TV, like, you know, reading the book, I read his memoirs, and I was like, well, no way if they really followed the script could they put this on primetime television, you know. If they wanted to follow the script, they'd put it more on, like, you know, HBO or something like that. But I just think it's cool, you know, so many Asian kids get employed by that show, you know, and to see, like, young Asian stars like Hudson emerge, you know, I hope he continues to get great roles after this, but I think that's cool, you know. We're happy. It helps us out, to be honest.
We'll be right back with more of the round table of Fresh Off the Boat with the Fong Brothers, Ben Chu, and Laura Walker.
This is Kristen Ledlow from NBA Inside Stuff, and you're listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast.
To all the ladies in the place with style and grace, allow me to lace these lyrical tissues in your bushes. Who rock grooves and make moves with all the mommies. The back of the club, sipping my weed is where you find me. The back of the club, macking whore, my crew's behind me. Mad question asking, double passing, music lasting. But I just can't quit because one of these homies Biggie got to creep with, sleep with, keep the ep a secret. Why not? Why blow up my spot? Cause we both got hot. Now check it, I got more Mac than Chris. And in the bed, believe me, sweetie, I got enough to feed the needy. No need to be greedy. I got mad friends with Benz to see notes by the layers. True to life players. Jump in the Rover and come over. Tell your friends, jump in the CS3. I got the and I'm by the tree. Throw your hands in the air if you's a true player. To the honeys, get your money, play your fellas like dummies.
Let's resume the roundtable discussion of Fresh Off the Boat.
Okay, so we all seem to agree that we all love the second episode. Like, because like there's less, like you mentioned, cringe-worthy jokes. That's the quick exploitation of Asian jokes, basically, on the first episode. They were rampant. Laura, what do you think about that?
I think there are a lot of cliches on that show, but I do think in some ways they have made a lot of efforts to make people go against type a bit, too. I will say the one thing about the first episode that I really liked was at the beginning when Eddie takes off his headphones and his family is singing along to The Sign. I thought that was really funny because I'm a sucker for a sing-along. But
well, yeah, I think we all are in some way, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of like part of us in a way.
But I think there's some smart things that they do. I think they are trying to make it so that the characters are more nuanced than what the stereotype is. But at the same time, I think it's really hard because they have to find this balance between like appealing to this niche of like Asian American people, which is not a huge part of the population, but we've all had like a broad range of experiences. And then within that small group, and then also making it appeal to all these other people. So But I did think the second episode was a lot better, and I really liked the part where he compared his report card to the other kids, and the other kid had all C's, and he had all A's, and they were all like, yes! And I was like, oh, that's so true.
We can all relate to that.
I think a lot of liberal white people at this point kind of cultured, you know, I mean, you know, it's a new generation. Also, you know, BuzzFeed, that kind of crowd who watches BuzzFeed mm-hmm. videos, you know, talking about Asian and the Asian material that they do. It is like a lot of liberal white people who know that white people are like, do goofy things, you know, like they're more self-aware. Mm-hmm. And maybe they feel a little too much white guilt or anything, you know, maybe something like that. But I do think that that kind of crowd, that's why this show came out at this time, because it needed that amount of white people to be a little bit more self-deprecating and self-aware, being like, that's true. we're the white people, we wear our shoes in the house, you know, da, da, da. Like, you almost you need that crowd for this show to survive at all.
Yeah.
I think that's why it came out at this time, and, yeah.
Ben, do you think it would have helped if it was, like, not set at 9, maybe? What if I was set, like, right around now? Like, if it was set in 2015 or whatever?
I mean, I think in terms of the time period, it's a little bit interesting to look back, because even though the 90s feel so far away, they really are really recent. But overall, I think the show would work on either way. But I think having that flashback to, you know, that era, which ABC did with the Goldbergs in the 80s, it seems to me at least that we want to take a look back and we want to understand how far, you know, life has changed, life has come. I guarantee you there's going to be a bunch of 90s jokes and references moving forward. And clearly the showrunner, I'm going to butcher her name, but Nachana Khan, who did Don't Trust the Bee for ABC recently, the jokes are, I think at least, are going to get much better once they get more time. They always tell you never judge a TV show by the pilot, and it was clear from the first and the second episode, either if the jokes were a little bit more too crass, or if you saw pretty much the preview, you probably saw most of the jokes in that episode. So overall, I think the show has room to grow, and especially in a way, since it's switching over to the Tuesday time slot, it feels to me at least like it's going to have a pretty fair shot, despite not having a quality lead in like Modern Family gave it during this Wednesday period of opening time.
Mm-hmm. Last question, because I've let the Fung Bros go, but What do you expect to see with the show more? Laura, start with you.
What do I expect to see? More of what? I'm sorry.
From the show. Yeah. More from the show. Like, what do you expect to see, and what do you want to see from the show?
I'd like to see them going more against type. I think especially, was this the first episode where Eddie gets called a chink and then his parents threaten to sue the school? Like, I think a lot of parent people still have this idea of, like, Asian people as being this really submissive and whatever kind of thing. And I thought they really went against type there, and I like that. So I'd like to see more of that, because I just think it's important to have a lot of more nuanced portrayals of Asian Americans in the media, because they just there's not very many that exist still. And there's a lot of us. So that would be nice.
Ben?
Honestly, I'd like to see more Shaq jokes, first of all, because, you know, it was the 90s and the Magic were during that period of time. But overall, I want to see, you know, I want to see some quality jokes, but I want to see that the one thing that I learned from watching Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23 is that the writing staff, or, you know, how it was performed, that there are episodes that show a lot of heart, especially with the end of episode 2 when Eddie and his brothers and his father are all playing basketball outside. You feel that even though this is perceived that this is an Asian American family, the ideal of that is very relatable across the board, no question.
Yes, it is. And the Fong Brothers.
I'm looking forward to more, like, hip-hop jokes. I heard that Scottie Pippen is in some coming up, so that's cool.
Yeah.
I think it's very nostalgic for a lot of people watching, because a lot of the Asian Americans grew up in the 90s, so I think even if it's not about being Asian, but it's just being in the 90s. You know, I mean, all those lists came out and stuff like that. Oh, you're a 90s kid, you grew up in this, blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah, like, those lists went viral for a reason. And the cool thing is that that show takes place in the 90s, so they get to make all those references to those, like, old Silly Putty and Stretch Armstrong and stuff like that. So that'll be cool, and I'm looking forward to that. But Yeah, I mean, I actually got to get going, though, so I appreciate you guys having us on here on the podcast.
Yeah,
and,
you said you had a TV show.
Yeah,
you said you have a cable TV show coming up. Is that what you want to promote really quick?
Yeah, we're filming.
Go ahead.
I can't say too much about it, but it's a food and travel show. It's going to be on a cable network. We'll probably, like, we just started filming it, and that's why, like, super busy right now, but it's not on prime time yet, but it's definitely in the food and travel lane, because that's kind of that's some of the material we do on our channel, so look out for the announcement of that.
Mm-hmm. Basically, the next time we talk to you, we'll talk about that show, right?
For sure, yeah.
All right, awesome, man. All right, thanks, guys.
Hey there, folks. It's your girl, Jackie Mesa Pepper from PepperOnSports.com, and you're listening to the Ray Ray's Fundamental Podcast. Little fact about your host, Ray Ray, did you know that he's actually the certified king of karaoke? I bet if you ask nicely, he may just sing you a little song.
Late at night when all the world is sleeping, I stay up and think of you. There's a little sample right there, right? So, thank you so much to the Fung Brothers. Check out their stuff on YouTube. Just search them, FungBros, Fung Bros. You can also catch them at FungBrothers.com. Again, they make videos of Asian culture. It's fantastic. They're hilarious. Really, check them out. They are really good. Also, thank you to Ben Chu. Check out our site, by the way, our basketball, our NBA site, thatnbalotterypick.com, where we show some highlights and some humor on there as well. And there's Laura Walker, who does her work at clear eyes full shelves.com. It's a book blog. Check that out. Follow them all on Twitter. You can find the Fung Brothers at Fung Bros, and you can also follow their individual accounts. Andrew is at Andrew J. Fung. And David is at David B. Fung. You can follow Ben at The Real Ben Chu, you know, spelled Chu as in chewing. And you can follow Laura at Stretch Octave. Stretched, if you can spell stretched, and Octave, O-C-T-A-V-E. So follow them all. And you can follow me on Twitter at The No Look Pass. And lastly, you can find this podcast on iTunes now. You can subscribe to Ray Ray's Fundamental on iTunes. Or you can also download the podcast at rayray.net. There's a hyphen between the rayray, so ray-ray.net. That's basically it. Shout out to the Gal Pal Squad, and shout out to Angelica for our brand spanking new logo and new banner. Thank you so much, girl. Follow her on Twitter at magicmoment32. Again, we really don't have a schedule for this podcast. You'll just know when it comes out, but just remember this. Ray Ray is fundamental, and you don't need a library card to check it out. Until the next episode, guys.
Laura, you have a question?
No, you just told me to get on Skype like 5 minutes ago, and I wasn't really prepared for an interview. So.
You're just going to embarrass me.
Game over, yeah! Molded.